Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Fiji Water. Y'all, I have been having one heck of an amazing summer. Lake days on the boat have been some of the best of my life, and on those hot days, I love to keep Fiji Water on hand to keep my family and myself hydrated and refreshed. It really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable, ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7, and because I'm a complete aquarium nerd, I tested this with some of my pH test kits and can tell you, confirmed. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water. So get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. The plunger fell off the wall. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Yeah, Ben, I almost make it. We were joking last week how I've been in more than you. I almost didn't make it to this episode.
You very much almost didn't.
I almost didn't.
For both the viewers and listeners at home, I feel like they can tell a shift in the general energy.
Yeah.
In the room,
yeah,
which is the fact that we are standing up
for this episode of Popcorn Culture, largely because I am incapable of sitting right now.
Why are you incapable of sitting right now?
Well, Ben, if you're a longtime listener and especially a viewer, you remember that last August there was a brief spell where I fell under a similar condition where I could not sit, having pulled something lifting weights.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it's the exact same injury.
Oh,
like,
no.
I mean, it almost definitely just flared up the same problem. I thought I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm gone. I've been strengthening it. We've been stabilizing it. But no, this morning I was just doing some Romanian deadlift, not even a very heavy kettlebell or anything. Yeah. And all of a sudden, bam, huge flare up. It's been a tremendously rough morning for me. Walking hurts.
Yeah.
I would say moving of almost any kind hurts.
Yeah, yes. There have been a few times where I have been worried that, because we both have our standing desks and we work like, you know, 3 feet from each other. And there have been a few instances today where I was like, what, did our career end? Because I'll just hear you from like the other side be like, oh my God. And I'm like, What happened? And it's like, oh, I just shifted my weight lately. And it's
I shifted my weight. Like, I cannot. I'm so sorry. Yeah, just so fair warning. If at any point you hear me just let out a terrible groan of pain while Ben's in the middle of like a really funny story or something, just I'm sorry. It really hurts. I've had a pretty rough morning, I'm not going to lie. In addition, before this happened, I woke up this morning and I have my morning routine going right now. I wake up at like 6. My coffee is ready downstairs. I go down, I pour a cup, and then I go down to the patio. I've been doing my New York Times little puzzle packet.
Yeah.
The Wordle and the connections and the mini crossword.
Yep. Taking all those, but I've been doing the same thing. It's very fun.
It's fantastic. And you know, I've also been going out, and then while I'm out sitting on the patio, I'll turn on the sprinkler, water my garden and stuff, which has been my, you know, little passion project this summer. But yesterday, I didn't actually go check on it when I got home. So this morning, before I turned on the sprinkler, I was like, well, let me go see, because I'm getting pretty close on some tomatoes. But I got out there, Ben, and boy, oh boy, we've heard legends of Bazooka Jack, the sunflower menace. And as long as Bazooka Jack has attacked my sunflowers, it's been pretty frustrating. But at the end of the day, only sunflowers.
Right. You know? Those are in your front yard.
Those are my front yard.
Which do not have like any type of like fencing,
no gate, no fencing.
Or anything around them to protect
them.
However, the backyard, you did construct like a rudimentary like fence-based system.
I've got a fence around my backyard and then another fence around my garden. And yet, as I was walking out there this morning, unbelievably, one, there was a rabbit just in the garden, which I don't even know how it got in.
That is kind of unbelievable.
I know. And it like saw me coming and all of a sudden it found itself rather trapped in the garden, which I was kind of like, I don't even care. You've clearly done something bad, rabbit. So it like scrambles, eventually finds its way under somewhere, which I'm going to have to go, you know, stake that down later.
Right.
If I even can move to do it. But as I'm examining the damage at this point, what I assume is the rabbit, it starts to dawn on me that it was much more than a rabbit that got into the garden. It's like definitely a deer cleared the fence. And just had its way, just ate so much lettuce, ate all of my tomatoes, which were very nearly ripe. Just, I mean, I was so mad, so stressed. Like yesterday morning, I'm not even surprised this happened, because yesterday morning I came downstairs and there was a deer just sleeping in my yard.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
it was scoping it out.
Like, it clearly, I would bet money it was the same deer that came back and was like, hey, look at this. What? Jackpot. So I don't really know what to do in this regard. I felt enormously helpless about the situation. I'm like, I already built the fence. I already put up defenses for this. So I have to go back to the drawing board. I'll get back to you.
Well, I think first things first, we can probably nickname the deer. And I've got a nickname in mind.
Yeah.
You know, for such a heist man.
Yeah.
I feel like nothing short of Danny Ocean.
Danny Ocean. Yeah. Danny Ocean the deer.
Yeah. Danny Ocean the deer.
Yeah.
It's an Ocean's 11 reference.
Fitting. Yeah. So yeah, now I gotta figure out what to do about my garden, which I can't even bend over to deal with now, which is making it even worse. But fortunately, I was at the gym and I'm like, at least I can burn off some of my stress lifting weights here. And then everything got worse. And then to make it even worse, we're supposed to go to the lake for a week next week. And I've been like looking forward. You finally have a boat that works.
I know.
And we're going to be there for a whole week. And I was like, I am so looking forward to water skiing, to fishing, to jumping off the boat, to jumping off rocks, you know, basically anything that would involve bending forward.
Yeah. I feel like
playing
a hip injury
with my kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, even at the place we're going, they have this big movie theater room. We've been there before and they have these big comfy chairs you can sit in. And I'm like, I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to sit in the comfy chairs. I don't know what I'm going to do. I really hope it gets better rapidly. That maybe my body's like, oh yeah, this happened before. Let's just chill. So I don't know. Anyway, we're standing up because I can't sit down. So that's why we're doing that. We really look like sportscasters or something, though.
We really do. Yeah. We really do. I just got to say real quick. I mean, I feel like injury that means you can't sit in comfortable chair is just about like as injury all time low as it gets.
It's so annoying because like at least sometimes when you're injured, it's like, well, it sucks that I'm injured, but you know, no one can blame me for sitting in this comfy chair all day.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
apparently they can.
Yeah.
So
anyway, we'll just practice getting ready for being future sportscasters whenever the old, you know, fandom theory coverage dries up.
Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But you know, we'll just shift into sports fandom. It'll be great.
We'll be good. So anyway, guys, because we're in that kind of like unusual zone that we sometimes find ourselves in, which is that we're preparing for a week away from the office, which is going to be really great. It means lots of new memories, but it also means that we're doubling down in terms of recording pops in advance, which also means that we haven't gotten to live a whole lot more life.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of really positive feedback last time we did this. So we're going back. We're going to do another sort of advice column based.
Q&A based
episode. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. We've gone through. We've got questions from the little kernels from Patreon. So want to go through and kind of just answer questions one by one. See what we come up with. See what comes out of it. Last time we went long. We're standing this time.
We're standing. So who knows?
Turns out our microphones are also kind of heavy. I skipped the gym this morning because I have this like relationship with going and doing leg day before trips, and it has so frequently just completely bitten me, and I'm not doing it.
I'm right on that train now, forget it. I'm so mad. It's like it's not because it's not just the garden and it's not just the injury, it's like I'm like pre-mourning the loss of my vacation.
I know.
Like, and I don't like, which is to say, who knows? Maybe I'll wake up 2 days from now and be like, you know what? I'm pretty good. You know what? Maybe I shouldn't water ski, but like I can walk around.
I got all the faith.
I can sit.
I'm sending nothing but positive vibes and wavelengths your direction.
Yeah. I'm doing everything I can. I got creams. I got some relaxers.
Yeah.
I got the Theragun. I've been to the chiropractor already. Yeah, so we're
I'm
hitting it as hard as I can.
Yeah, you mobilized rather quickly. Yeah. Rather quickly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So we're gonna be good. We're gonna be good.
Yeah.
Not to worry.
We're still good.
Yeah, no despair in the eyes. You're gonna be fine. All the faith in the world. Okay, so question number one is going to come from Anton Larson, who says, do you have any guilty displeasures? Oh, displeasures. I actually read this question wrong.
Oh.
So maybe we can answer both. Do you have any guilty displeasures? Something you should like by all indications, but just don't.
Guilty displeasures. Like you have to feel guilty about not liking it.
Yes. Oh, this is interesting. Ooh. I mean, it kind of gives me a little bit of flashbacks to the salad, like ordering a salad at lunch.
Yes, where it is like that.
It's like you kind of feel guilty because it's sort of like, well, I'm being healthy, but now everybody else is.
Yeah, I don't want to make everyone else feel bad for not being healthy because I'm being healthy.
Okay. Something that I should like that I feel like I don't like as much as I should.
Right. Yeah.
Very interesting.
I know. It seems like you had an answer for guilty pleasure, but maybe not for displeasure.
No. I know. Well, and I'm going to come back to that too. Okay. But let's see here. Comic books. Comic books are one of these things that I feel like I think, even given like what we do, kind of like given when we grew up, and I even feel like many of my friends like collect and regularly read comic books.
Yeah.
It's like a part of who they are. It's a part of like what they're into. And like, I think that, you know, Dad always called it growing up that we had like the collector's gene.
Yeah.
You know, like we were really into like action figures and Hot Wheels and Beanie Babies and, you know, like trading cards.
Yeah.
And like
we're still doing it.
Yeah. Like
I got my Pluto pins going.
Precisely. Yeah. Like that's definitely like a part of who we are. And I think that there's like, whenever I go to a comic book store, I always really like the ones that are like graded behind the counter.
Yeah.
You know, that are like rare. It's like first appearance of Iron Man or something. And it's like, okay, I would be interested in owning that comic, not because I want to necessarily read it, but because it feels like an important artifact within the world of superheroes.
Yes. I do remember when we first got our first office, there was a period there. Oh gosh. Sorry.
It happened.
There was a Darth Vader comic series come out. There was like 25 issues. And I remember you got like really into collecting the comics.
Yes.
Like I don't necessarily remember you reading them, but it was like, oh, that like it was like this discovery is like, oh, it's Darth Vader, it's Star Wars, it's the thing we talk about, it's cool, it's new, like. And there was like the discovery that there's not just like one cover, there's like variant covers and rare covers and stuff.
The variant covers is definitely what got me. There's something that comic books do sometimes where they will print like a completely like white blank cover in the hopes that you get to like meet the either like artist who actually drew the original cover at like a Comic-Con related event.
Yeah.
And they will like very quickly like draw you a cover.
Yeah.
Which like then like ends up being like super special or even just getting like a signature from like the author or, you know, someone involved with the project.
It gives you like a mission.
Yes. Yeah. And that was something that I was like, oh, that's so cool. So, so comic books I do think are one of those where maybe what I need to do is just like find a really good run that somebody like recommends, sit down, dive in, and like get lost in the magic of it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people have and do, and comic books have been so influential on our world.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I don't have any stacks of comic books. I've never read a run from start to finish before.
Yeah, that's interesting. So like, I also like don't own a ton of comic books. I've got like a bunch of like compendiums and stuff.
Okay.
Where it's like, okay, yeah, this was that whole story. But instead of buying it in like 30 separate issues, we've just put it in one big book now.
Right.
So I've got some of like stuff like that. I've got like all of the Avatar stuff. Actually just very recently bought like there was a very, very short, like 4-issue Power Rangers run of all things.
That was another one. Yeah. Yeah. You told me about that and I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, it's all right there. I'm staring at it right now. But, I remember I got on Twitter one day and like all of a sudden my whole feed was like blowing up randomly with people talking about this particular, I guess the fourth one had come out and people were like, whoa, that was so good. So it's called The Return. And it's just 4 issues. It's the you know, the Mighty Morphin, the regular Power Rangers you're familiar with from childhood.
Was it not like the woman who originally played the Pink Ranger?
Yes. Amy Jo Johnson, who played Kimberly Hart, the Pink Ranger in the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, was like one of the authors as well. And it's something of a Pink Ranger. All 5 of them are there, but it's like she's like the maybe the leader of the, like they're the main character of the story.
Central to the story.
Yeah. So I mean, I bet you could read all four of those with no context other than you are aware of who the Power Rangers were and enjoy. And it would take you 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That short.
Oh, yeah. Not, I mean, they're not long or anything. I was like, how good could these be? You know, and I read through it and I was like, boy, you know what? Every single twist they were going for, it got me.
Nice.
Like, yes. It was like, I think part of it was because like they didn't really let it sit for too long, or maybe because it had all four like right out of the gate. It was like they set it up and like three pages later, it's like, boom. And you're like, whoa, okay, cool. So that was nice.
That is
a cool one though. But like, yeah, I've never like collected comic books. I don't have like a giant stash somewhere.
Yes.
But I know what you mean. Like when I go into comic book stores though, I think you're right. Like you're in a world, like you said, we have like the collector's gene kind of thing. It's like, I know I'm around the stuff.
Yes.
I'm around it. Like all the people in here are like, they've got that same gene in them. But like for some reason, like these particular things, I don't feel desire to collect.
Well, and it's hard to know where to start. It's all very overwhelming. And then there's also that feeling of like
it is hard to know where to start.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like walking into class and like having forgotten that like there was either like a homework assignment or a project or there's a test that day, and like everybody gets out and they're all like very prepared. Like that is oftentimes how I feel walking into a comic book store. It seems like everybody else knows why they're there, what they're looking for. They're like diligently, like, you know, finger leafing through like section after section.
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't know how to partake.
I know. It's like it's like as if all you feel all the eyes on you, and they're not, but it feels like everyone can tell I don't belong here. They don't know. They know I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. They're going to tell me to scram.
If I start looking for something and just start leafing through and they're like, can I help you find something? Then I'll have to reveal that I'm not looking for anything.
I don't know.
I like X-Men.
Yes. Yeah.
Where do start, please?
Where's the start of X-Men? It's like, well, that's going to cost you like $48,000 if you want to start.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other way though, you can do it is one with the compendiums, because then it's just all together. And you can just mail it to your door. Or there's lots of great like the DC app or the Marvel app.
Yeah.
It all.
Okay.
For a subscription, of course.
How about you? Do you have any guilty displeasure?
I've been trying to think. I think baseball fits this category for me.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe it's that I've never really tried, and it's not like I've never been like really into a game or a series. Like I've gotten excited watching baseball.
Yeah.
For sure. And we went to a Red Sox game earlier this year and it was a blast.
It was so much
like
fun.
At Fenway Park. And like I love going to baseball games.
Right.
In person. But like I have never been like into baseball. I've never like enjoyed playing it per se. I've never like taken a good long hard look, like following it. It's like I know the rules. I get it. I know what's going on. But like it has never captured my attention in a way that like it has a lot of people around me. It's clearly a super popular sport. Got lots of friends who played it and are very good at it.
This always felt like something that was almost like to the general dismay of our dad.
Yeah.
Who I think like was like my boys will be into like, you know, having three boys, and then none of us liked baseball.
Yeah.
You know, so it really didn't end up like panning out in any major capacity. And I have no idea. Like I go back to like playing like early T-ball.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it was kind of like, even like when I didn't know what I was doing playing like rec league soccer, I could at least still figure chase the ball around.
Right.
You know, but like in baseball, even to this day, like we played kickball several years ago in like a rec league.
Yeah.
And even that was one where like the people who like grew up playing diamond sports knew like the instincts. They knew like plays on second, you know,
right.
They like knew how to like call the terms. And I was like, once again, it was the same thing where I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right. Like, yeah. You're like, I can kick the ball and I know to run the bases and catch it if it's in the air, but like you're not thinking, it's not like instinctual. You be like, oh, there's a runner on first, so that's a forced out at second.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I feel like what would happen like in high school is like I'd be standing on first base and somebody would hit the ball and I would sprint to second and then I would be out.
Yeah,
even though
like,
I got
you didn't
there
tag up.
And everybody's like, yeah, they're like, Ben, like, what are you thinking? And I'm like, well,
hit the ball.
They had to come to first, right? Like, it's like, yeah, we got to tag up. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what it means is you're supposed to go back and tag the base and then you can run.
If they catch it. Okay, if they catch it. Okay. Yeah. So if they like, if you're on first and the batter hits like a grounder, then the moment it hits the ground, you're good to run.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, you know, so I guess you could you know, if you're watching the ball good and you're on first base and you see them hit it and you can tell based on how they hit it, like the fielders aren't going to get it, go ahead and take off.
Just go ahead and take off. Yeah. This is where like a lot of instincts got come into play and I just don't have them.
So. Yeah, right. So it's like, yeah, it's just sort of the things you missed out on. So yeah, I would say baseball is a guilty displeasure. I feel like I should like it, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet, you know?
All right. Well, then let me flip the question then from Anton, because I read it as guilty pleasure. So I have an answer. I have an answer loaded, but do you have any guilty pleasures
that
you like to engage with?
That I like to engage with. I mean, for a while, I would have said just like watching The Bachelor, you know?
Yes, yes, right? Yeah. Like good garbage TV.
Good garbage TV, yeah.
This was the thing that, especially too, because like for the longest time, like I feel like I would tell my other friends, like, honestly, I've been kind of into The Bachelor lately. And they're like, what? Why? And I'm like, dude, I had the same feeling. Yeah. Like, I didn't sit down because I wanted to watch it. Like,
yeah.
I was in the room with somebody else who wanted to watch it. And then, like, three episodes went by. And before I knew it, I was invested. And then I couldn't help it.
I know. And this is what always happens. You're, like, walking by and you're like, oh... You like, you know, you're standing there, oh, you're just watching The Bachelor, and it's like, oh man, okay. Well, I think I'm gonna go maybe break down some boxes or something. And it's like, wait, what's happening here? Did that guy cheat on her?
Right.
Why would he do that? It's like, well, I know. And then he's like,
they knew each other before the show started.
Oh, that doesn't seem fair. Because they're supposed to be random, right? And then you're like, okay. All right, and then you walk away, and then you come back and you're like, did that guy get kicked off the show? Did she keep him? It's like, she kept him? No. Oh man, okay, well, you know. Okay.
I got sure.
Next week the show's on, you're like, this guy's back. Before
no way,
you know it,
no
it's just
way.
Like you're like, Beth, come on. You're gonna be late. It's starting.
Right, yeah. Quit playing sports outside. The Bachelor's on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Put down your baseball glove already.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, so I think that's a really good answer. And I think for a long time that probably would have been one of mine. I haven't been as tuned in to it in quite some years.
Yeah,
now,
I got pretty burnt out on it there after a while. And it's like one of those is like I just stopped watching and it's not like I haven't missed it at all.
Right. So maybe that was the thing, is that you're hesitant to enjoy it. You find that you enjoy it, and then you're sort of like, but then like once it runs its natural course, then it's over for real.
Yeah.
But so my other one that I was gonna say is canceled plans.
You love canceling plans?
I sort of love canceling plans.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not in a way that I'm sort of like ever intentionally making plans in the name of canceling the plans or anything like that. But like, it's the kind of thing where like, if you were to message me and be like, hey, you know, turns out like it's not going to work out. And it's sort of like my evening at that point in time then has been created as like completely clear.
Right.
And there are no obligations. And it's sort of like, oh man.
It's like bonus time.
It's like bonus time. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
Whereas it would have felt like you were wasting time.
Right.
Because like you didn't plan anything.
Right.
But no, you did. You did your responsibility. You planned something. You did. You engaged with the world and you were going to be social. You had every intention of following through. And that was canceled. So now, well, hey, look at this.
Right. It's similar to getting a snow day when you're a kid, where it's like that feeling of like the unexpected holiday. So like one of the things that I remember as a kid that I would do all the time is like I would occasionally on the weekends, I would set my alarm for my normal weekday day, like time. So like, you know, 6:15 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then my alarm would go off and it was like, I wanted to do it on the weekend specifically so that I could get up and be like, nope, I'm going. I get to go back to sleep today.
Yeah.
I woke up and like every other day of the week, there's nothing I would kill for more than the ability to just turn off my alarm clock, not have to go to school, not have to commit to that obligation or go be social or take that test and just get to sleep for like another 2 hours, get up at my own leisure.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I loved on the weekend almost like simulating this experience by being like, oh, it's 6:15, but it's Saturday. And so I think occasionally, like even this morning, like me not going to the gym was a kind of version of this. Like we have like a big busy week getting ready for like being out of office for a week and wanting to make sure that we've still got like all of our ducks in a row and everything. And so it's like my ability to not go was like, oh man, I woke up this morning. I had like a little bit of a sense of stress. Like, oh gosh, I've got so much to do today. It's like, you know what? But I don't have to go to this thing that I optionally choose and sign up to do.
Right.
Like it is like, I am the only person truly holding myself accountable to this activity.
Right.
And so like the ability to be like, you know what? I can take this thing off my own plate and it's okay. And then it was sort of like a little luxury.
I know. If only I'd done the same.
I know.
Only I'd done the same, Benjamin.
Narrow miss.
Who's to say? Then it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I will blame myself for going, but it's like, one, you couldn't have known. And for all I know, this was about to happen no matter what.
Yep.
Like, you know, it maybe it's better that it happened in the gym next to my trainer than in the middle of the lake.
Right.
Mid water ski.
I was going to say, yeah, like water skiing is brutal in every aspect of the body. Right. So yeah, like it would be a lot worse if you went down and all of a sudden you're having a struggle in the water and we have to try to like rake you into the boat.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So, you know, there's that. Anyway, great opening question.
Yeah. From Anton. Way to go. Okay. So next question is going to come from Zachary and Kaylee J. Custer. Okay. My wife and I just got married last August, bought a house in November, and had a baby in March. Holy cow.
Wow. Okay, so big life changes.
Big life changes. Well done. After listening to you guys for so many years, I know you guys have had these experiences semi-recently and would love to hear your advice on marriage/work balance, home ownership, and especially parenting. What things should we expect that caught you off guard? Pop, pop, brothers. P.S. After 4 years together, I only have the very last Harry Potter movie to show her. Well done, Zachary.
Amazing.
Yep.
Something that caught me off guard, for at least parenting wise, was going in and feeling like, yeah, I know it's going to be hard, but like, I'll definitely be able to keep up everything else in my life as it is.
Yes.
Like, and I think the realization, like that's just not true, you know? Like, yes. It's going to change you. It is going to take a ton of time. And even the time you're not physically interacting with taking care of the baby, you are recovering from that time, or you're just emotionally drained. And like, it's like you said, like, if you can just take something off your plate, you what you're going to realize is that you need to take stuff off your plate, and eventually you will, and that's okay because you need to and you should. But what you'll be left with is a different looking plate of food.
Yes. Yeah. You know? I think you're definitely right. Cause like, I know like when Addie was born in particular, I was sort of like, okay, brand new massive endeavor that like is now involved in my life. Why don't I start a vlog for several months right in the heat of like the holiday season time of year, which meant that there's like all the additional obligations and family gatherings and purchasing of Christmas gifts and tree and, you know, like all those types of bits.
Yep.
And then like 4 weeks after that, I think we went on like our like a Disney trip with an infant. And then immediately upon coming home from that, I started the 75 hard challenge, which was like, you know, the 75 days, two workouts a day, committing to like some type of like dietary plan, no alcohol, like, you know, it was this like really big commitment that I was planning to take on. And looking back on it, I 100% know that what I was attempting to do is exactly what you just said,
right?
Which was like, become a parent, don't let anything slip through the cracks. But then like, if you go back and watch any of my vlogs during that period of time, what you'll see is that like, I think the constant struggle that I'm dealing with week in, week out, and the thing I keep harping on is like, I'm running out of time. I don't have as much time and energy as I thought I had. I'm trying to go easier on myself, but like, man, I'm exhausted. And so like, I ended up getting to like day 63 out of 75 of 75 hard before like sitting in our screened in porch one day, looking at Alice and being like, I am too tired to keep doing this.
Right.
You know? And it was like, you're 12 days away. And
I know.
It was
like you've made it way past the hump.
I know. And it was just like, but that was the problem. I hit a literal wall.
Yeah.
Where like, it wasn't just like grit your teeth, like two more weeks. You can do this, less than 2 weeks. It was like, no, I am done.
Yeah.
I stretched myself, you know, it's like pulling like taffy apart, you know, it's like, it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner, and it'll stretch pretty far, but like eventually
it's gone.
It's going to come apart.
Yes.
And that is definitely what happened. And I would say that the other byproduct of this, and it was like where I felt really bad leaving like the people who were watching my vlog hanging, is I think in like the last episode or second to last episode, me and Alice made a comment. We're like, you know, oh, we're really excited today. We got like a nice busy day. We're doing couples counseling later. And then like, we're going to go and do this and like have dinner or something. And I remember all the comments being like, oh man, are they okay? Like what's going on with Ben and Alice? Why are they going to couples counseling? And it was like what had happened very clearly, again, looking back on it, that wasn't obvious in the moment, was like, you tried to do everything. You were juggling this massive new responsibility inside of your life. That is like the singular most important thing in your life, which is having a child. And all the while, I think that like that stress, that burden, the additional like everything that you're trying to do, in addition to trying to maintain your life as you knew it, it was like, clearly me and Allie were like not able to communicate in the ways that we really wanted to. But that trial by fire was also really good for us because it was like, we got to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we got like, you know, if there's things lingering from some other time that needs to be discussed, if, you know, if there's a problem that we never really properly sorted out, if we never got closure on this issue or that one, like we got to sit down and focus on us because we are also each other's key point people.
Right.
You know, it's like we are each other's primary and main support system for everything in life. So yeah. It's like the best possible way to succeed at that is to make sure that we properly and sufficiently have each other's backs. And so we worked through that. And I think our relationship took huge steps forward, which was, you know, unbelievable being like, you know, 2 years into our marriage.
Right.
You know, it was like now we're making these big, massive like strides. It's like,
yeah,
you would think that like those would be things you'd figured out, but it's a constant learning curve.
It is. And it's like, you know, when it's difficult making that change from like everything sort of being about you to now it's about you and your wife.
Yes.
All the time.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like that. The communication is absolutely key to doing that. As I say that, I think my phone is ringing and I'm about to, I bet it's my wife, and it is not. It's actually my father-in-law.
Okay.
I'm not going to answer because I'm recording.
Everybody's checking on you.
Everyone's, I'm sure. I know why he's calling, so I'll just call him back. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we are. Good communication.
Communication.
I'll call him back.
Yeah. I know. Whatever. It's fine. Yeah. So I would say that's a big part of it. I don't feel like I had like this massive adjustment to like being married to Beth versus just like dating her because we had been together for so long.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And you guys had like some of your, I mean, you guys did like long distance as well, which I felt like was some trial by fire.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I would not recommend long distance. I mean, obviously it worked out in the end, but like, Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. That was maybe a metaphor for long distance relationships. Was the pain shooting through my body just there? Yeah. It's hard. So, I think Beth would tell you that too. She's like, I'm glad everything worked out the way it did, but like, I don't know if I'd make the same choices.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, maybe we would have found each other no matter what. Hopefully, but yeah, long distance is just hard. Yeah.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. So anyway, I mean, I know it feels like the ultimate like cliche response, but like, yeah, it is conversation, but it's also conversation about like the nitty gritty things. Like I think the thing that I've gotten better at is like what I used to avoid in conversations were like the pain points.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't ever want to bring those things up because it's like, those are the ones that are like challenging and it's like, it's difficult to like work through. Now I'm almost like feeling out those specific things to be like, we need to talk about this because I can tell whatever it is lives inside of me.
Right.
It's actually a name of the wind. I think there's like a really good, and this isn't like secrets type thing. It's how it's described in the book, but I think that they say there's a difference between secrets of the mouth and secrets of the heart.
Yeah.
And secrets of the mouth can be things like gossip. It's like, they're things that are almost like bursting on your lips, like that, like want to come out of you.
Right.
And then secrets of the heart are like these like bizarre little treasures that you keep deep inside of yourself. And like the longer time goes on, the heavier they get and the harder they are to like discuss or bring up or anything. And not that we have like anything super crazy in our past or anything like that, but like those are the ones that I've tried to be like, I'm not letting them be secrets of the heart. Like I'm talking about those.
I'm bringing it up.
I'm pulling them out. Like,
let's,
you know,
go.
Let's have time to discuss.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yes.
It works.
Yes. Yeah. So my final thought is that like whilst when you were single, it felt like whatever, like you need to focus on like what's good for you is going to be good for you. But like what's good for your wife is also good for you. And what's like, as long as you both like have that mindset, but like, you know, is as long as she thinks what's good for you is good for her and you think what's good for her is good for you, you'll be great. And the tricky part is trusting and really believing like deep down that is how the other person feels.
Yes.
And
yeah. I like that.
Know, yeah. Yes. That's the hard part, is trusting that they feel that way as well.
Right. But
if you're both on that page, you're going to be great.
The ultimate support system.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, gosh, I'm okay. Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Transition?
Transition. Pardon.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Yo, when we first started making content online, I remember the very first time somebody left a comment asking where they could buy our merch. It was a wild moment, almost like a rite of passage. I was on cloud nine until I realized I had to find a way to make that possible. And that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify made it so easy to take that comment to heart and put our first t-shirts online available for, you know, that one person that wanted it. Now, years later, we rely on Shopify every day and have a whole lineup of products from coffee to candles and, of course, t-shirts. And while we always love the comments letting us know what y'all want, Shopify makes it easy to know what y'all are actually loving. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also worked to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the mourning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a Feather Snap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are entering a spooky season, so what better time to talk about our fears? If I'm being completely honest, failure is probably topping my own personal charts, to which you might be like, oof, Ben, just aim for where it hurts next time, why don't ya? But for me, the biggest issue is that fear of failure is so great that it often stops me from ever even trying something new in the first place. And therapy has been huge for this problem for me. Take running a marathon, for example. Hard enough to just do, but then I was setting standards for my pace and speed and what would constitute a victory as I crossed the finish line. And I talked to my therapist about this, and she suggested that I make it less about speed and more about just spending time with my friends, and it completely reframed my thought process. And the outcome was that I was getting months of training runs with my buddies on the weekend and a fun, long, adventurous weekend to Nashville, where we finally were able to check marathon off the old bucket list. Overcome your fears with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/poppop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poppop. Okay, that moves us on to our next question, which is going to come from Drew M., who says, as someone who has recently graduated college and is afraid as to where the immediate future will take me, could you two please reflect on these similar feelings you may or may not have had when you were first graduating from college? Did the real world seem bigger than it really was? Did your pathway lead anywhere close to where you had initially predicted?
Oh, man. So I remember graduating from college. I remember when I was approaching graduating from college. I had a friend named Erica, and she just seemed like she had it all together.
Yeah.
She like had a full-time job before we finished. She had the same internship as me. So it was like, we were clearly on the same page, like in terms of like stuff to do to prepare, but like she was clearly way ahead.
Sure.
In terms of like, I know how to do this. I'm working on getting a job. I already have a job. You know, it just felt like, man, I remember thinking like, it seems like it's a lot of work to even send out my resume. You know?
Right.
I don't know.
This is like the comic store situation all over again. It's like, yeah. Erica knows exactly which comics and which
yes,
like, you know,
yes,
runs she's reading, and like which you know, covers she wants, or like which mm-hmm. issue comes next.
Right.
It's like,
I had it all figured out, well planned in advance, made room in her storage room ahead of time, you know, pre-bought all the vacuum sealer packs, mechanics, you know,
of course,
has a good grading service ready to go, whatever. And I'm sitting there like, I just like, superheroes, huh? I guess I majored in that. don't know.
Right, right. I do think that this is like one of those, like, because all of us know probably someone who went through some version of that. Like one of our closest best friends, I feel like, grew up like knowing he wanted to be an architect from the day we met him.
I know.
You know, yeah. As like a 12-year-old. And to this day, he is an architect.
He is an architect.
He followed that path. But like, I would say for me, like, you know, this was something where going through all of high school, I was really into the aquarium side of things. And so, you know, for a good stretch of time there, people would be like, well, what do you want to do when you get older? And I was like, well, I want to be like a marine biologist because I really like fish. I really like nature. I like the ocean. I like, yeah. You know, like exploring, that type of thing. Like I want to go and like be in the field and that type of stuff. And then I think as I like was getting closer to like my experiences in college, I feel like there was somebody somewhere, some advisor in some room at some point in time that was like, yeah, but you know, like the career prospects, especially if you want to stay like in Virginia, can be like a little bit limited.
Right. It's like, if you like I don't even know like what would a marine biologist mostly do? Like, is that like an academia kind of job mostly, like publishing papers and things?
And see, that's the question. Yeah, because right. I feel like what I wanted to do was go and put like on like a scuba suit, be out in the ocean, be like interacting with or attempting to determine like methods of like improving coral growth on like a global scale or something.
Right.
But like I don't know what that job is.
Right.
You know, and so like as I go through college, I would ultimately find like that there was even a firm out of Florida called the Coral Restoration Foundation that was like basically doing exactly like what I had mentally like described. And like they go out and they had these like amazing like underwater trees where they take corals that are scarce and they like grow them on like clotheslines, because if a coral doesn't have to grow onto a rock, it can actually grow quite a bit faster. Yeah, because like making
grow in every direction.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So like more, if you can imagine like a deer's antlers, that's literally like staghorn coral is what they were growing.
So
the process of like going and dropping it out there, it could grow in like a bunch of different directions, then you could take those pieces and like plant them back out into the ocean. And I was like, if I had been a marine biologist, then this could have been a career path for me. But in the meantime, though, I had done my business degree where I double majored and was like the entrepreneurial management and business marketing were my two degrees. And I was sort of like, this will open like all doors. That's another one of those situations though, where I think like boxes can sometimes breed creativity.
Yeah.
Because like being generally versed in business is not, it's hard to narrow in on anything.
Right.
It's like, well, where do you want to work? It's like, well, any business.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the end of the sentence. Like anywhere that can use me.
Anywhere.
Like,
I'll just take a job. Yeah.
Yeah. Like business. That's what I want to help with.
Yeah. I think one of the things I struggled with is that like when I was in college, like you sort of kept hoping like, you know, like I remember going in not really knowing specifically what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as you're there, you think like, oh yeah, maybe I'll, you know, you'll try out a bunch of classes or something, or maybe you'll just sort of figure it out. And I think what I ran into was that like what I discovered was like YouTube, you know, but like I discovered it in 2009 when there was like maybe 10 full-time YouTubers.
Right.
And it was like, I knew I wanted to do it. I knew I liked it. And I even thought like I could foresee a future where like the present day exists, where like, you know, like people are on YouTube and this is their career. And like it seemed like that was a thing that existed. And it was like, I feel like I just wanted to do that, but like, it wasn't a job yet. Well, and it was like, I was sort of up against, I was like, I don't really want, this is what I want to do. It's just like, there's not really a way to make money at it. But it's like, I know there will be, but like, you know.
Well, and then I don't know how you felt about this or not, but like in some capacity, like even once we started Super Carlin Brothers, to me, it was sort of like, yeah, but now it's still like a lottery draw of that scenario where you find just the perfect topic that ends up going viral, that builds you a base audience that you can then communicate with and create a community around. And like, it's like, even as I describe that, I'm like, that's not what happened.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
we made videos for a long period of time, like I think well over 250 before we ever cracked into like the Pixar theory. And, you know, that was this thing that sort of like made the channel go ballistic all at once. But we didn't know that. It's not what we set out to do.
Right. Yeah.
We had thrown everything that we could think of like at the wall.
Yes.
And, you know, so it's like on some level you couldn't help. I mean, but I also think that this is like, you couldn't help but think that the methodology of getting to this conclusion was going to require a degree of luck. And I would argue that that is what happened. But that's also where, like, if you can find something that you care about and you continuously put effort into it, like, that wheel of luck is going to land on you eventually.
Right. The weird thing about it is that, like, if you're, you know, people are like, oh, I want to, like, make TikToks or whatever. Or I want to find, you know, I want to be a creator. It's like, you're right. Like, everyone's advice will be like, you know, find your niche or whatever. Like, what do you already know about? Or what are you good at? What are you great at? And I think what so often is the, like, what the tricky thing is like, when you're good at whatever it is, like, just make that your job instead, you know?
Sure.
Right.
Yes.
Like that, maybe just that should be your job instead of recording yourself doing the other thing. Well, just do the other thing.
Yes, and that's it exactly. So like even like me doing like the aquarium stuff that I ultimately ended up doing, it's like if I had one passion as a kid growing up,
yeah,
like outside of like my athletics and stuff, which I was just simply not good enough to, you know, do on a professional caliber, it was like that was pretty much the other thing that,
yeah,
that I had sank my teeth into the furthest, that I had spent the most amount of time with, that I had the most knowledge base on. But you're right. Like it never even would have occurred to me to be like, well, let me go make videos about like my aquarium endeavors, because it was like, I don't know anything about making videos.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so then that becomes this big like barrier to entry. So
right,
it's like you always kind of have to find that person that's like a little bit good at a thing, and then can also figure out how to point the camera at it and deliver the information.
Exactly.
So, but I mean, that being said, to answer the question, it's like, there's no doubt about it that I think like when both of us graduated college, like it was not clear what was going to come next.
Yeah.
But I do think that this is where like a lot of opportunity lies at anybody's fingertips, because like you at this point in time are poised and you're like excited about the future. You're kind of driven by like a need for, you know, beginning,
yeah,
something
needs to happen.
Right.
And, yeah. And whatever you majored in, like there will be some kind of work in that field.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the first thing I did, I mean, well, I don't know, like the thing I was in school for was like, you know, news reporting or whatever, which never was like, it was one of those things where I was like, I guess those are the jobs I should apply for, 'cause that's what I majored in. And that's kind of like my sort of skill set, but like, I never like loved the news,
sure,
or anything, yeah, you know? But like there were like adjacent opportunities. So I did like grip work with like a local, like, video production company. And then that led to working on a movie set for a while. And then while I was there, that's when I got, the lead on the marketing job at the concert venue.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So it all worked out pretty good. Actually, we're going to take a quick transition, 'cause I'm going to get a call from the doctor right now. So hold on.
And we're back.
Yay. All right. Good news, guys. I got a doctor's appointment.
Hey, yeah. Way to go. Way to go.
Yeah.
We're making progress.
We're making progress.
Little by little. Okay. Next question is going to come from Jake S., who says, hello, I've recently discovered the pop and am binge watching 3 years worth of podcasts.
Whoa.
Man, that's a lot to take in all at once. Are there certain subjects that you avoid talking about on the pop? Things that might be too divisive or too PG-13?
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure if you've gotten this far, you've realized that we mentioned it last week too, that our, like, you know, sort of tagline, sort of theme is strong opinions about weak things.
Yes, it is indeed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say part of the reasoning there is because we not avoiding is maybe, I don't know, maybe it is the right word. I don't know. We're not trying to like be a podcast that is offering strong opinions about strong things.
Yes. And I think that like in a lot of ways, it's like if there was the ability or capacity to weigh in a way that I either one felt incredibly passionate about,
yeah,
or two was well informed enough to where I felt like I was able to deliver like a succinct and well-rounded stance or view on like an important topic, then I think I would.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, I think like at the end of the day, like that's like, I would love to be able to contribute to important conversations.
Yes. I would say like, you're right though. Like it's difficult to feel like I've got a good, solid, strong enough understanding of any strong thing to like weigh in effectively.
Yes.
I think, you know, like, and which is to say, like, I don't feel like I'm necessarily like uneducated on a bunch of different like topics that would fall into this category, like, you know, religion or politics or you know, whatever causes are out there that we're not talking about or whatever. But at the same time, like when I would say 99% of the time when I see people blasting off about anything like that online, it's like they got strong opinions about strong things. I'm not sure they have strong arguments about strong things. They've just got like I see a lot of loud arguments is what I see.
Yes.
And I don't want to just be loud, you know. I want to be well informed and understood. And it's like I feel like I know enough, but not enough to like be like an authority or an expert or feel like, you know,
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing too, is that like, I think that the internet can be an awfully complicated place, especially just sort of like what I would regard as, I mean, we're not necessarily in like the infancy of the internet, but like online dialogue as it continues.
Or maybe
to,
we are.
maybe we are in the scheme of things. Like we're, you know, 100 years like from now, there will be much better methods of conducting these types of conversations. But like, I do think that like, you know, tone and, what's the like nuance are things that are, that can be very quickly lost. Or if somebody doesn't know you or like an underlying good intention behind asking some particular question or posing thoughts or weighing in or providing like a counter argument to something that is like hot button existing in the world, like then it can get very, 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 like it can be taken out of your hands very quickly.
Yeah.
But that being said, like, I do think a lot of those conversations, like if you were to sit with me, like around a fire pit, you know, on like a weekend evening, it wouldn't be uncommon for me to be like, what do you guys think about this? And it's like, there's something really glorious about sitting around like your close friends, your loved ones, people who you have like a close level of trust with, to where they know that your objective isn't to try to necessarily even change their opinion, but to better inform my own.
Right.
And so like a lot of times, like, you know, I'll ask a question and somebody in the group will just be like, there's an answer to that. Let me explain it to you. And I'm like, there we go. See, here I was on the fence about this, but now like that I've been given additional information to springboard off of.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now my thoughts and opinions are able to evolve a little bit more. But even going back to like early Super Carlin Brothers, I feel like these tended to be topics that rattled around in my mind a little bit more. Like I don't know that I was involved in political discussion, but this mm-hmm. is where I like metaphors.
Yeah.
You know, I like to like take an example, try to pluck the context, you know, from the specific circumstances and try to apply it to something like very commonplace.
Yeah.
And sort of see how it plays out. But then there's always the constant inevitability, you know, even if we were to try to do something similar to like that on the pop, there's like the issue of like, well, that's kind of like a false equivalency. Like, you know, it's like, this is a very important real world matter where like potentially lives are at stake or something greater, versus like, you know, if we're talking about like apples and oranges, it's like, you know, that feels like those stakes aren't so great.
Right.
You know, so sometimes it's like, even if you can metaphorically like distill something out. But that being said, I do think some of the like philosophical discussions that we've had on the
yeah.
on the pop over the years, like there's one episode in particular that I would say, I think it's the only time it's ever happened where you and I sat down to record an episode. We got into a discussion about something and I felt like we were polarized enough on it to where it was like, it just went in the wrong direction. And it was yeah. like, even amongst each other, where we both get along extremely well, we have many of the same values, we have a very similar upbringing,
yeah,
but like still enough of a difference of opinion about a particular topic that it was sort of like, okay, like even that sort of shows that like amongst two people who are very, very, I mean, you have known me every single day of my life.
Yes.
You know, it was like, there was still the ability for it to go off the rails. So it's like, it doesn't surprise me on the dialogue that happens on the internet that this happens.
Yeah.
Because more often than not, the people probably don't know each other at all.
Right.
And so anyway, like even as well equipped as we could be for a conversation that could be difficult to have or could be more complicated, like there can still be that potential. And obviously I think a lot of like what we're attempting to provide, you know, through the pop is discussions that anybody could potentially feel a part of. Like we are aiming at inclusion. We want people to feel like we are having a conversation. It's almost as if you're just sitting on the couch with us.
Right.
And we're all talking.
Right. So we're trying to, yes, it's trying to be lighthearted and inclusive.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yep. I guess hopefully that answers your question. Oh my gosh. Gosh, I'm sorry. That,
I can see the pain in your forehead.
It's bad, guys. It's bad. Okay.
We're making it.
We're making it.
Doctor's appointment tomorrow.
Yep.
Continue.
Next question.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. Okay, here's one that I think is kind of low-hanging fruit.
Okay, all right.
Not low-hanging fruit, but not as intense, maybe.
Yeah.
This question is going to come from Leonard Kim, who says, with the Olympics coming up, what event or events do you like?
Oh, man. Yeah, I saw this one. I was like, yeah, the Olympics are very close now, and it's been fun to get excited for. I can tell you that I think I will definitely be paying much more attention to the basketball this year than I have recently.
Yeah.
I just sort of take it for granted that the United States is going to win at basketball.
Well, yeah.
They've won gold at many, many Olympics now.
Right, right.
But that said, this year in particular, there are at least two Celtics players on the team, and possibly three if someone else is like injured.
Okay.
I know, yeah. So that would be pretty exciting to keep up with. And then there's been like other Olympic drama around the women's basketball and Caitlin Clark getting snubbed from the team and stuff. And that's been interesting to follow too. But otherwise, outside of just basketball, I typically love watching like the swimming and the gymnastics the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are always, I mean, I think what's the most unbelievable thing about the Olympics and the way that it is presented is that, like, you know, I always go back to like the movie Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Where I feel like one of the characters subscribes to like Obscure Sports Quarterly or something.
OSQ.
OSQ. Yeah.
ESPN 8, the Ocho.
Right. So it's like, it's almost as if there's like a sport, like in the movie is about the game of dodgeball in this sort of like niche group of people that exist out there in the world who take dodgeball very, very seriously.
Very seriously.
And it almost feels like comical. But then in a lot of ways, like the Olympics is not a collection of obscure sports.
Right.
Like, You're not typically like, hey, who's your favorite pole vaulter?
Right.
You know, and but that being said, it comes on and all of the backstories that they provide you and like all of the information that the analysts are able to like, you know, give about how the sport works and like what it will look like if somebody does something successfully. It's like you get to, I mean, I know this is Summer Olympics and this is like a Winter Olympics example, but like, I feel like you could watch, you know, two nights worth of figure skating and then you will see somebody land like a quadruple axel and be like, oh my God, they nailed it.
Right.
You know, it's like,
that's one of the hardest tricks in the world. No one's ever done that before. Wow.
Yeah, it's like, here it comes. There it is. Oh, and they nail. And you're like jumping off your couch. And it's God. Like, I have it. Oh, you okay?
Yep, I'm good. I did not nail that triple axel.
No, you didn't.
I didn't even nail that weight shift, Ben. Right.
We're almost through. We're doing it.
Sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. My groaning is an active part of this episode.
It's okay. We
appreciate your listenership.
Yes, indeed. But so I think this is like one of the things that I love the most about the Olympics is that like I can almost turn on anything on any given night.
Yes.
And within minutes, I will sort of be like, okay, and now I'm pulling for them. And yes, they're the underdog. I love this story.
Yes.
Oh, and they got injured last time. So now it's like their comeback. And this is probably the last opportunity because 4 years will be too long.
Exactly. Plus the Olympics just offers you a way to be cheering for someone no matter what.
Yes.
It's like, you know what? Like, cause this is like, if you go to like, I feel like a lot of times if you go to like any given Mexican restaurant ever, there's soccer on TV.
Always.
And there's like several games on all over the place. And I enjoy watching soccer almost it's just fun watching professionals play soccer because they're so good at it.
Yes.
And it's such a beautiful game. But it's not like I'm ever like, I can never zero in and be like, okay, right. Okay, that team's doing about this well in the league. They're probably going to lose. That guy's really good. Like, there's just so many soccer teams.
Right.
You know, I can't do it, but it's like, you turn on the Olympics and it's like, America. Yep. Go America. I'm in. Yes. You're my favorite. Go. Go America. I mean, I know who to root for. It's America. It's not like, you know, if you were like, I feel like, if you were, you know, just lived in like Britain or something, you turned on the NFL. It might not be obvious. Like go Steelers, I guess, go. They're from, one's the Giants and one's the Steelers. Who does it? You know, I don't know.
I like the ones in blue.
I like, go blue. Go blue team.
Go blue.
Exactly. But it's like the Olympics doesn't matter. I don't need to know your story at all. You're from America. I'm rooting for you. That's it.
Yes. I mean, this is something that like, you know, it is difficult because I don't feel like, you know, it doesn't always feel like being able to have like immense national pride is always the easiest to come by because, like, you know, world politics are what they are. And, like,
it
you know,
feels harder to come by recently.
Yeah.
Like, when
yeah.
we were growing up, didn't seem hard to come by.
Maybe not. Maybe yeah. not as much. But I do feel like during the Olympics, like, this is, like, a very specific, like, these are people who have gone out there. And the primary thing that they have done is just worked really, really, really hard to hone their craft, to represent the country.
Often, like, to be there.
Yes, to be yes. there. Yeah.
Because often it's, like, a one and done, you know? Like, Michael Phelps got to go to the Olympics, like, 5 or 6 times.
Right.
You know, great, great long career. But many an Olympian, you know, they age out of the, because they're only once every 4 years. You know, not that even 4 years later, they're not still amazing at it, but they just might not be at best 3 people in the world at it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. It's like, it's very difficult to maintain that level. And so, you know, oftentimes like that, like I said, you know, this person last time was injured. Like, you can only imagine the 4-year buildup to preparing for the Olympics and being as good as possible.
You're talking about Simone Biles?
Well, I mean, she's coming back.
I know. You know,
we'll see her. We'll see her.
What's crazy? That whole story last time, you're right. It's like, you know what? That was crazy. Like, everyone was like, Simone Biles, best gymnast in the world. Basically, best gymnast who's ever lived.
Yeah.
You know, widely agreed. Oh my God, goes down. America's down there, like, big superstar. And guess what? They still won gold.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like that. That is unbelievable to me. I'm gonna just hold on. I hate to do this again. I'm getting another call from the doctor, so hold on. America and we're back. Yeah, I remember last time Simone Biles not being able to compete, and then Suni Lee still getting gold and being like, "What? How? Oh my gosh!"
Yes, yes, you know? It's unbelievable. But like, yeah, in a situation like that, especially like with gymnasts in particular, this is like a known sport where like the older you get, the faster it is difficult to still be competitive on that level. And so like it's like, oh no, if she can't compete now, it's like, what are the odds that 4 years from now we'll get to see it again?
Yeah,
and but like, you know, sure enough, here it comes.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
And that to me is, I feel like what the Olympics is like just made of is stories. Exactly like yeah. that. And so it's like, you know, and that's really like what it comes down to with sports in general most of the time, is that it's like, it's not necessarily like the action in the field. It's not necessarily like how high somebody jumped or how fast they ran. It's like, it's what did this person or this team or whatever the circumstances are, what did they do to overcome everything in order to achieve something that is globally agreed upon to be the pinnacle of that activity?
Right. And because so often it's like people's one chance or, like it often feels like you're watching them, and like if everything was working to get to the Olympics, and this is their shot, like you're watching like the climax of the movie every time.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
like
exactly.
You're watching the end of the story so often. It's like, here's the big race, the literal moment this person's been waiting for their entire life.
Right.
You know, it's like, are they about to do it? You
yeah.
know? Maybe. Let's go.
And,
we'll find out in 10 seconds.
Right. And like, that's the thing too, is that like, you know, like someone in the Olympics this year will have a miracle happen. Like,
yes, absolutely. They will.
An underdog will win something. Somebody will overcome the odds. Like those are the details.
A world record will be set.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, just going into this series of events is just like, you know, you're about to witness history.
That's the other thing too, is the world records that get set too. It's like, not only are you watching someone like win at their thing, if they're setting a world record, it means that you just watched like someone do that thing better than anyone in the history of the planet has done it.
Yes.
You know, which yeah. is insane.
It is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things to look forward to. Great, great question there from Leonard, who was asking about the Olympics. That's really fun.
Also beach volleyball. I mean, I don't follow it at all, but like if it's on, it's like, yeah, let's go.
Let's go. I mean, there's nothing better than like a really, really good spike.
Yes. Well, yes.
Set, it's all spike.
I never am more impressed. It's like, there's only two of you covering the whole court and you're doing such a good job.
In sand.
In sand. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. How many sports are performed barefoot that aren't in water?
Exactly. Exactly.
Few, I think.
Few. There you go.
Gymnastics?
Gymnastics. Yeah. 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 They're not wearing shoes in there.
There you go. All right. Question number next, and hopefully maybe potentially the last one of the day. Let's see what else we've got here. Let's go with... Oh no, I don't think we have the person who asked this question, but we're going to ask it anyway. Which Harry Potter character do you think each other are most similar to?
Oh man. Okay. So we sort of got this question on tour that was asked about like the Marauders, I think.
I don't know if it was about the Marauders, okay. But that may have been our answer.
That may have been our answer.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Who is Ben most like in all of Harry Potter? I think on tour we said Sirius.
Sirius, yeah.
Sirius is pretty good. I also would toss out there Ron.
Ron. Oh.
Yeah, I would toss out Ron.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Yeah, I mean, that's two very, like, best friend figures.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
If you've watched our channel enough, you'll know that we think Ron and Sirius are just different generations versions of the same person, so.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think I could see that because I think that a lot of, even, like, you know, like, with Super Carlin Brothers, like, you know, for anybody who, like, wasn't familiar with, like, the introduction to the saga, like when we started this project, like, this was truly something that I think you had the vision for, and I was like, I'll support you. Like, all right, I'm in. Let's go. Yeah. And obviously, after all these years, it you know, we just celebrated 12 years.
Yes, literally, as we're recording this, yesterday was our 12-year anniversary.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable. Yep. So that's a good one. The only thing I would say about Sirius, who is a character I have always really, really liked for his sort of, like, like, we should just go for it kind of, like, mentality, because I think sometimes, like, I can have that mentality when it comes to certain kinds of endeavors.
Yeah.
But I don't think I am particularly hot-headed the way that
Sirius
is.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, maybe Ron's a little cooler on that front.
A little bit cooler in the head. Yep. Okay, so let's see then. Jay, we said Lupin.
We did, yeah, on tour.
While we were on tour, mm-hmm. which I do, I think that definitely makes sense, because I think, like...
Because I'm such a wolf.
Yeah, I'm such
a lone wolf.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. In business school, you do learn about, like, different kinds of employees that, like, can come and work for you. And there's you know, like, the people who are, like very, very, like, reliable. Like, they're probably never going to be, like, fireworks, boom, bang, pow. But, like, they're there every day.
And stallions.
Yeah. They just keep going. But then there's, like, the lone wolf persona, which is the one that, like, typically isn't going to have, like, a whole lot of... Like they're not going to, like, bleed the company's colors, but they are, like, pure talent.
Zava.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From Ted Lasso. That's it. That's a good reference. So, yeah. So Lone Wolf. Yeah, totally. That's Jay. 100%.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's definitely not invested at all. You know me.
I'm just out there by my lonesome.
Pure talent. Just everywhere he goes. Yep. Doing all the things. Who else would be a good answer for you? Let's think. I feel like you would be a good teacher as well. And Lupin's a good teacher.
Yeah.
Who else do we resonate with, though? Albus Dumbledore.
Dumbledore? Boy, that's Dumbledore. A lofty answer. Yeah. I'm not sure I quite live up to it.
No, I do. I think that oftentimes, like, you're nice, because I do think, like, you're very reliable, and I think that you're very straightforward with your thoughts. Like, I think that it is very rare.
You think Dumbledore is straightforward with his thoughts?
Well, when he speaks,
when he speaks,
he is. Yeah. He maybe, like, withholds certain kinds of information. Yeah. But I do think that, like, one of the things about you, like, because I think from me, from my perspective, like, sort of that, like, that people pleaser mentality, like, wanting to be, like very like outwardly, like, positive or supportive or whatever, like, it can sometimes mean that, like, I fail to be, like, critical at the right moments, or, like, maybe there's, like, some occasions where there's, like, some like social niceties involved. But I do think that you are, like, very direct with how you feel, what you say, what you mean all the time.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. You. So you can, that's what's really nice, though, is that I feel like if you compliment somebody, I'm like, believe it. Yeah. Like, you know, because I feel like when it's coming from Jay, like, that's.
I noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. It's a good one. So anyway, okay, there you go. Well, guys, I think we have pulled on Jonathan's hamstrings enough for one day today. But
glutes, Ben.
Glutes. Yeah. The glutes.
Or whatever. I don't know.
We got a
moment of the I was told earlier it was a moment of flexion.
A flexion?
Flexion.
What does flexion mean?
I don't know. I guess it means something was, like, just slipping out of place or bent the wrong way, and my body was like, protect, and everything seized up all at once, and
yikes.
Yeah, that's what they told me.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily like I'm saying injury. It's not like I injured myself, but I'm just in lots of pain because my body is defending itself from a moment of flexion.
I see. Yeah. I see. Okay. Well, there you go. Flexion, everybody.
I know. I was like, I've never even heard that word.
That's a new one for me as well. Like, yeah.
Inflection? Flexion? I don't know.
Well, hopefully you will heal rapidly and quickly, and we'll be able to have ourselves a great week at the lake this upcoming week, and hopefully. Then we'll come back with all sorts of action-packed adventures for the next week's episode of Pop.
I'm sure we'll have lots to say.
Yes, we will indeed. Otherwise, as per always, if you have any feedback for us, be sure to send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. But otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishawn Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.